to the Dramedy Podcast, everybody. It's good to be back doing another little episode, talk about some stuff regarding the cancer, regarding possibly some movies and medical things within them films. Also going to do a little bit about maybe my niece and talk about her. And, you know, just keep it rolling, keep it real, and having fun. Ken Allen, that's me. Rocking and rolling. That's what I do so great. And you're listening up, and thanks for doing that. And pass it on to your loved ones and friends and coworkers, because, damn it, I'm good. I'm just good at this. I'm just really good at what I do. And I'd just be ashamed for it to fall into the ether. And I'd like it to fall into the ethos, if you know what I mean. So let's get this thing up and rolling and rocking and strolling. So I can make some dough off of it. You know what I mean? So make some doughing. Remember, we're at www.traumedypodcast.com. That's TRAUMEDY. Why? Because you're traumedy, rock and roll podcast. And here's the cool thing about this now. I've been talking about monetizing the podcast. Well, guess what I just did? Bang. If you go to the podcast website, you will find now that as you turn, you hit the page, there's a little banner there that has an Amazon little ad, right? You click on that ad, and it brings you to Amazon, and you can go shop. And you can shop for whatever you want. You know, stethoscopes, blood pressure cuffs, 4x4s, Traumadex, whatever you feel like buying, traumaty related, medically related, whatever. Even if you want to buy an Amazon Kindle, which is what's up, dude, because they're kick-ass. Anything you buy through Amazon, I get a little kickback. I get a little incentivized cash back on my side of it. It's not a lot, but it's a good step in the right direction. And the best part is it comes at no additional cost to yourself. So please go through www.traumatypodcast.com. Go and find that banner. Click through it to get to Amazon. And your boy here gets a little bit of dough to keep the lights on at Traumaty Podcast at Unitet Studios, located conveniently in Woodacre, California now. We moved. And I make a little cash flow. And we don't have to give it to Amazon. You give it to yours truly. So please do that. That's fantastic. And I thank you in advance. And please tell your friends and all of your crazy consumer friends to go do the same thing. I know my dad is just a really good consumer. He's a very good little, middle class capitalist. And thank God for that, because I put the little link onto his web pages and he can go and he can click and buy as many hatchets and tomahawks as he wants. And I'm not kidding. The guy is now obsessed with tomahawks because I told him that the special forces used to carry them in Vietnam, and he's buying tomahawks like you wouldn't believe. He's insane, but like the good insane. So anyway, tell all your consumer friends. Sorry, I just stepped back on my chair. Go through Traumaty Podcast and buy shit. Tell your friends at the schools, like maybe you teach at, tell the students, oh, click through Traumaty Podcast. And while you're there, listen to an epi or two. And everybody wins. Everybody wins. So podcast is becoming monetized. I'm putting up my own music now for the intros and extros. And I'm going to also set up little segments that are a little bit more professional, because if I'm going to sell this thing, it's got to sound pro, because people aren't going to listen to it if it isn't. So make sure you do that. So just tell me what you think about it. Remember, you can also contact me anytime you like through Unitet, UNITET at hotmail.com. Send me any advice, any concerns, any comments, any compliments, dare I say. And any suggestions towards people I should have on the show. And I'll do my best to make that happen. And we'll see how this all works out. It's definitely going to work out. All right. As far as the cancer situation goes, 4 weeks down through radiation. So if you don't know already, if it's your first time listening, yours truly here, who is a firefighter, paramedic, EMS and cardiology teacher, as well as, you know, well, I mean, I'm also a firefighter and paramedic, years of experience and really grew up in the field. Suddenly got diagnosed with cancer of the olfactory nerve, which is called esthesioneuroblastoma, that I had to have 11-hour surgery to remove from my right sinus cavity, and which was encroaching onto the right eye. And that was a very good success, apparently. Now I'm going through radiation, and I'm 4 weeks down with it, and I'm doing pretty dang good. I'm telling you, aside from the fact that I have some pain in the sinuses, and I have, it looks like I've been walking, it looks like I've been stranded on a desert island with no sunblock because my face, because I have a, you know, that fair Nordic Viking face. We're not used to the sun. We're not equipped for that. My mother used to run to me and say, "Case, you got to put this." I don't know why she sounds like this kind of mother. "Case, you got to put on the sunblock on your face. Look, honey, you don't want to get sun. You don't want sun skin cancer, do you? All right, so you got to go on the nose, the whole nose, all across your forehead. You got to do the ears. You got to do all your face. You don't want to have cancer. You don't want that. You know." That's not how she talks. She doesn't talk as such. However, I'm sorry, I'm getting ring-ins from my buddy Mike Hidalgo, who I just miss working with. And I found an old tape. Look how quick. He's so eager to talk to me. Look at this guy. He just can't wait to be on the podcast again in any shape or form. And he's sending out voice or a text to me. So I found an old recording of us back in 2013, just talking about when we just got sent to Station 18 together. And how much fun and how hard it was and how crazy the calls are. And so, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, yeah, it's burning my face off, but it's burning down into the nose and it's taking any, you know, aberrant cells that may still linger there that have kind of dug in into the hills of the sinus cavity, like in Kandahar. And the laser is a hellfire missile just frying, just cooking my face. So a little bit red, a little bit swollen, a little bit uncomfortable, mostly dry in the morning. And I wake up in the middle of the night and my whole face and nose is dried out. And I soft palate now is being affected. So I am having issues with spicy foods and just heat hot type foods. But I can still, and I didn't say, I can't taste anything, because it took the olfactory nerve out, but I can taste rudimentary things such as sweet, sour, spicy, hot, cold, obviously, alcohol, which is good. In fact, I decided I'm just going to have a martini tonight. So hang on, here's a sample apple off this one, not an apple martini. This is the old school style, baby. This is a Bombay Sapphire. With one olive up, with just a hint of vermouth, like the vermouth just winks at me. Mike, take it easy, bro. I'm in the middle of explaining something. This is poetic. So like the vermouth, just a hint of it. I have heard people say, take the vermouth out, tap it against the glass, and put it away. That's not my style. I like a little bit of vermouth. It's nice. It's nice. So here we go. Ready? Now that's marvelous. Do you see already my voice gets silky? That's not good because I can't do this on a regular basis, but damn, that feels nice. So, face is dried out and, you know, and I realize like I can't have any dairy products because it really increases all the mucus production. Hey, we're getting real good and graphic and, you know, into this podcast. But hey, if you know people that have had cancer or having cancer going through it, turn them on to this because I'm telling it straight like it is. It's been a bitch. It's been a real, real big pain in the butt. But aside from that, it's a success story. up until now. So I'm not complaining. It's been interesting thinking about what my life's going to be like after not tasting or smelling, especially because I love to cook, and like I can't even like sample the food to know what it tastes like. So I'm going to have to go back and just go off of rote memory of like how I put stuff together, and then just stare at people and make sure that it was something that tastes good. Like I'll never know at the firehouse. I'd be like, "Oh, this is good," and they're totally going to humor me. And they'll just never really, except some guy will be like, "What the fuck is this? How much bouillon did you put into this? This is trash." But I'm hoping for those people. God bless the honests out in the world. But aside from that, anyway, burnt face. It feels like, you know, just you cooked your face like you laid out in the sun without any sunblock for 2 or 3 days. Which is interesting because here, you know, your whole life, you slap stuff on to keep that away. And now you can't. And I went into the radiation therapy one of the days, with 100 SPF on my, in the areas surrounding the, tear ducts or the tear glands. So just above the eyebrows, kind of lateral, you know, the lateral end of the eyebrows, which is where your lacrimary glands, whatever, you know what I mean? The tear glands are, and I put it over my eyelids because, you know, they're saying like you're going to get glaucoma. Like it's pretty common to get glaucoma after radiation because you're frying your fucking face. So everything's just getting bombarded. It's like, that's the central nerve center. This is the NASA center where, you know, this is where they direct the astronauts to fly and orbit around the rest of the body. But that's the central center of the brain and body. So I can have some issues with sight and hearing, which is a bitch because, you know, fuck man, sorry. How many swear words can I put together in, you know, a 1 minute segment, but, sorry about that. So it's frying everything. And they go, oh, by the way, you have some issues with sight. Oh, by the way, you could also lose some hearing too. And, you know, and I've already lost smell and taste. So it's like, damn, you could just have this locust of a cancer come through and knock you out of being like a perfect specimen. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good. I mean, you know, pretty elite. Get used to it. That's my style. And, but now it's like everything just kind of gets wiped over, like, you know, like you're just sending in, you know, weapons of mass destruction, but for my own good. So, all things seem to be in danger. So I put this stuff on my face, the SPF, and I went into the doctor the next day for the regular checkup. And he asked me about that. And I said, well, I'm kind of tearing up a lot. And I think it's because my tear ducts, which are closer to the nose, might be congested. Either there's something inside them or the boogers, the follicle, you know, the mucus that's being produced below it is blocking that tear duct. And he said, well, it's better to have tears than not to have tears, because if you don't have tears and we've damaged that tear gland, you're not going to have tears later on. Like you're not going to have tears because you're not going to have any ability to create it, which means I'm going to have to walk around with a toiletry bag full of tear, Visine. I'm going to have a bag with the saline inside it. I'm going to have lotions and creams inside it. I'm going to have toners. You know, I'm going to basically be, the girl that can't leave without her makeup bag, which sucks for me. Because I'm the kind of guy that just brushes off his clothes when he wakes up and goes, all right, I'm ready to go. Let me just put some water in my hair. All right, good to go. You know, oh, I got to go brush my teeth. You know, and go do I'm kidding. I don't, I definitely still brush. And I still wash my hands to the tune of happy birthday, everybody. Remember, you got to wash your hands for about 12 to 17 seconds to really get the benefit. So I'm that guy. But I don't want to be the person when I have to leave, I grab a wallet, grab a phone, I grab the keys, usually headphones. And then I'm going to have to go, wait, do I have my toiletry bag? Let me grab my, hang on, guys. I know we're going to the bachelor party. I need my toiletry bag. So I'm going to have to be that guy now. Possibly. But, God help me. God willing, I won't have to carry around a little bitch bag. Sorry. It's funny. It's funny to me. Just how much your life just kind of goes, you know, it changes on a dime. And then you have to go and evolve with it. But isn't that really the sign of being a human being, is how quickly you can adapt to a new situation and just take the reins and say, okay, this is my new life. Let's do it. So I'm telling my doctor, I put on this sunblock and put this on, and I said, why don't you have contact lenses? You know, something I could put in my eyes that would protect at least, you know, to a certain extent, the fact that the laser coming in, that, you know, you could have something there to block it so it doesn't screw your eyes up, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, you don't realize how intense this laser is. They're and I said, they're gamma rays. He goes, yeah. And they're very, very intense. I said, okay. He says, okay, so just for a point of reference, the way that we direct this laser beam and focus it, we have these, windows or kind of just like, you know, slats inside the armature itself. And they focus and move, and they're made out of lead. And he says, but they're about 9 centimeters thick, because that's how much of lead. That's how much it takes to absorb that laser and focus it. So he said, so basically, if we made you contact lenses, they'd be about 9 centimeters big. And I said, okay, so that won't work. I said, so what about the sunblock? Is that doing anything? He goes, yeah, that's cute. Go ahead and put it on. Go ahead and put it on, man. If it makes you feel better, go ahead and put it on. I went, okay. Thanks, man. Thanks for being on. He goes, that's all right. Yeah, you go ahead and you use whatever you want, because it is like, I actually do think it's like whatever you think you're doing good for yourself, you actually are doing good for yourself. Your brain appreciates being taken seriously and being driven towards some kind of task, be it making a goal, following through with a goal, making a piece of art, running a call well, or healing itself. And that's where I'm at. You know, if anything I feel is going to do good and gets my mind to not stress about it, then do that. That's the best thing you can do for your body. It's just the less, waffling or, vacillating. It's not vacillating, it's oscillating between two things, whatever, the better, because you're taking up less energy for your brain to keep debating over something and just more to put it to good use. And so what I've actually been doing is positive visualization of my body finding those cells, pulling them out, and expelling them into the lymph, and then the fucking lymph, just a fast shot down into the digestive system and getting it out. Like when you go to Costco and they take those like little air, you know, those things that they put your check in, this is still around, and they put them inside that little tube and it goes, and that's what I'm hoping. That's what the cancer cells are doing right now. They're just getting right out the lymph. And that's what's happening. I can definitely feel that. Also, what else have I been doing? Running is keeping me in shape. Calisthenics in the morning, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Not so much of that, but pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, and then running and keeping myself in shape. And then also yoga, which I would highly recommend, especially if you live in Marin, because yoga classes around here are very positive, and there's some great customers that are in there, and it just makes you feel real good. The whole thing makes you feel really good because there's good looking women in there. I hate to sound like I'm a chauvinist, but come on, man. God, and oh my God, I saw this girl next to me. It goes from just admiring because you're like, she's fucking hot. And then she starts doing some crazy move where she's on her hand, she's on her head, her arms are down. She does a handstand, but not just a handstand. She's got her legs above her and they're twisting around, and like her left foot is touching the right shoulder, and then like spins it in the air and like twists the right foot and hits the left shoulder. And it, you just, I'm looking at this going, I can't even grab my hands with the eagle stance or whatever it is. And this person is crushing it. And I was just, then all of a sudden you're like, I'm in awe. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that? She was obviously like, she looked like a dancer. She'd move and like her fingers would move. Like, you know, like the wave movements of dancers, how they can like, they'll move their fingers first and their arms move like kind of, you know. And I was like, okay, she is the master of her own body. And just to see that and to think, okay, I can be the master of my body too. I can be, I masturbate all the time. So I understand what mastering your body means. In fact, probably, come on. I probably am not the master of my body if you have to do that, especially. Well, this is going down a very bad trajectory. So let's keep this. But I didn't, anyway, the point being, you got to start making steps for yourself to become better. And the woman that ran the show at the yoga class had a really great comment that she said. She said, now, when we're doing this dance, think about the things in your life and think about the things that break your heart and those things that really tear you apart when you see them done wrong, and the things that just fill you up. And she said, that is your calling. You have to follow that. Because if something breaks your heart, it means you believe in that so much that it changes your emotion. It changes your mindset. So I loved that. And that's why I'm doing this whole podcast here. What do you think? How am I doing so far? Chauvinist aside, doing pretty good. You guys still want to go through that Amazon banner and buy some shit? Please do. So it's good. It feels really good. Aside from that, I'm also doing sensory deprivation tanks, which of course was from Joe Rogan. If you haven't listened to him, he's a big, big proponent of sensory deprivation tanks. And, you know, you look into it, I think it was John Lilly, or it's Lilly anyway, the guy that originally created them. And I thought, what the hell? I'll give it a shot. I didn't think I could pull it off, but you can. Don't sweat it. Just get in the tank and go for it. And this is the third time I've done it. This was the best time I've done it. I was able to think clearly. If anything, it's just 1 hour out of your day or your week where you are forced, or you get to think about yourself and think about where you want to direct your energy, your chi, which is very real. You have to get into it. It took me 3 times. So this time I was really into it. I was really getting into it. So I'm going to give an unsolicited advertisement to Conscious Drift, which is located in Fairfax, California. The woman that runs it is excellent. She's a total hippie. She's really interesting to start talking to because she's got, you know, very holistic ideas, and which is, you know, I'm into it. I dabble in it, but I don't necessarily always subscribe to that stuff. And of course, when it goes against like Western medicine, where they're like, you shouldn't be doing chemotherapy, it's poison and it kills you, and then it's, how could it be good? And, you know, you should be eating just herbs and spinach and turmeric, and or just turmeric, and you will clear yourself of cancer. And if you don't do that and you don't subscribe to that, well, that's your own fault. Like, that's a lot of that's what I'm afraid of hearing from these people, right? But she's definitely not that. She has some great ideas about what I should be doing. The big one is don't eat starches, don't eat carbs, and don't eat sugars. Because what's cancer feed off of? It's all sugar. very spoiled cell. It's super in it all. It absolutely just has to have sugar and oxygen and a blood supply. And if you starve it of that just a little bit, it dies. It's so finicky and wimpy. If you attack it, you kill it. So don't feed it. So you can go into starvation mode. And she said, you know, why do we need to eat? You know what I mean? It's okay to fast. Fasting, she said, it was interesting. She said, you know, if you look at any school of thought, philosophy, religion, politics, where has it ever been not said that doing fasts is beneficial? There's always a reason to fast. You're supposed to fast. And actually, evolutionarily speaking, we didn't have food all the time. If we're walking around, I mean, you ate what you had around or you didn't. And your body learns to streamline energy and kill off the weaker stuff around that it doesn't need. That would be cancer. You know, that would be fat. That would be you're breaking into the stores and your body is reevaluating what it needs and what it doesn't need. And so I'm going to go on a little bit of a fast. I said, I could do like three. I've done a 3-day fast before. And she said, well, that's good because it'll get rid of what's in your gut at least. But I recommend a 21-day fast. And I was like, Jesus, well, I'm not going to pull a 21 while I'm on radiation, but I'm definitely interested in doing that. And it doesn't mean you're going to do a full fast. You can have, you know, certain plants. like green food, you know, with the super C green, whatever the thing is that they have at Whole Foods or whatever. And she's like, but I dilute that out. And then you have like, you know, a little bit of cayenne pepper and some lemon juice, some water, and you drink tea. And what the hell? See if it works, because every little bit helps, I think. So anyway, if you're in the neighborhood of Marin County near Fairfax, go check out Conscious Drift. She's got a knack to get you to talk. She's very much herself. And I think, Mike, easy, bro. I'll get to you. Hang on. I feel bad now. But she has a knack of, because she's so much herself, you just start talking to her. It's very much a therapy session, more than anything else. And you just feel better. You just feel new. It's something new. Go try something new. I was talking to Mike today, and he's saying, join jiu-jitsu, which I did actually last 2 months ago, but I haven't been back for about a month and a half because of all the treatment, and I can't get smacked in the face because I don't know if my face is now porous because of the radiation. But I'm going to go back and be humble. You got to get your ass kicked. You got to get your ass kicked on a regular basis. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. You got to be beaten a couple times because it rocks your world. It rings your bell and you go, oh, shit, I'm not good. Like, I'm not good at this. Here's something I can put my energy towards. That's what you need. I need to do. That's what you should do. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what you should do, but that's what I feel like I need is novelty, something new, something that's a new project that I can go mess with and screw up and get right and look at the finished product and say, okay, that's good. I messed this and this up. When I do this again, when I create this again, I won't do that. And then it's going to become better, and you get to a higher echelon, and you get to a higher level of performance. And then you're just smoking it. You're kicking ass. And then it's time to maybe try something else out. But I think usually when you're very good at something, it makes you very good at everything else, because you know that all it takes is time and energy to get you to that point. Wow. I'm smart. Hang on, I'm going to have another little sip here. Wow. I wish I could taste all the intricacies. I should probably be having like pop-off gin. Is there pop-off gin? I'm still buying like Bombay Sapphire. But then there's another part of me that says, screw that, dude. Buy the best stuff and just, you're going to have it anyway, even if you can't taste it. Screw it. Enjoy it, you know? And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. Maybe won't, because I'll maybe save my money for something I can truly appreciate, like music, like instruments, like travel. You know, get out there, really see the old world, see the world for what it is, and be lost in the pattern of the world. That's a lyric. Don't you steal it. That's one of my lyrics. I was lost in the pattern of the world. It's a beautiful place to be. I was lost in the pattern of the world in Madrid, Spain, for 3 days. And it was the most glorious 3 days of my life. Listening to Joseph Campbell talk about the power of myth, walking around Madrid, not being able to speak a word to anybody except for broken Spanish, and, you know, finding musicians, finding, oh man, you know, beautiful architecture, and just being thousands of miles away from your home. The awakening that happens in that realm is unreachable by anybody who stays in their hometown their whole lives. There's something about being an alien in a different civilization and just realizing I'm alone here. And it's like it breaks your heart a little bit and you start to cry because you're so lonely, right? Well, I don't cry, but like it hits those same strings. And then you go, but I'm so lonely. I'm so alone and I'm alone here, but I'm alive. And I can see, I can go experience, I can randomly talk to somebody and I'll never see him again. And we can have a night of conversation and wine and then goodbye. I'll never see you. You run into a girl and you go, oh, this is, we don't even have to speak the same language, but we are speaking together. And then you're gone. And there's just, I love that. I love that being lost in that pattern of the world, if that makes sense to you. So I don't, anyway, I'm getting off topic, but that's good because that's the situation. So as far as radiation goes, the other thing he told me was stay clear of antioxidants because, oh, this is the one time you don't want to have antioxidants because it's the one time you don't want the cancer cell to live. So you don't want to be cleaning out any of these free radicals. So go ahead and don't eat blueberries. Stay away from raspberries. You know, stay away from cranberry. All the berries. All the berries, really. And that's okay. You know, and he said, by the way, don't take supplements. You don't want any of the L-arginine into your system because it's just going to promote possible survival of the cancer cells. So I was like, sweet. So, like, if you got black tar heroin, now's the time I should be taking it, huh? Okay. Well, I'm going to still steer clear of that, anywho. You know, this would be the time. So, anybody got any fucking China wine out there? What's up? I'm totally kidding. Dude, when I was a kid, my mom, one time, we were walking through San Rafael, and my mom pointed to this woman who was sitting at a park bench on the Nod, and she said, look at her. That's a heroin addict. Because, you know, my mom was a nurse. I mean, my mom is grew up around this. She went, there's a heroin addict. And I looked over at her, and this woman was green. Green. Looked like the witch from Snow White. And her eyes came up to me, and her fucking face looked like a morgue eye, a morgue-eyed face. And there was just kind of the sucking look into her face, and it freaked me out. And I think that was it. That shot to the limbic system, to the reptilian part of my brain, went, never touch heroin. So I had that going for me. So thanks, Mom. Thanks for making an example of that woman. Or, you know, thank you to that woman for showing me. And you know, I'm off the heroin fix. Why are we here? I don't know. We'll move on. Broadly pushing forward. What else have I found out so far? Let's see, where are we at? We're at 34 minutes. Sorry, guys. It's taking forever here. What do I want to say here? I was hanging out with my niece the other day. I'm not going to talk about that right now because it's going to take too long. But I did notice some stuff about semiotics and structuralism. Do you guys know about semiotics and structuralism? It's the idea that language and the way that you create society is actually just a product of the way that your brain and your body work naturally. In other words, structuralism states, yes, we have highways, we have byways, we have frontage roads, and we have little roads into our homes, into the residential areas. And the reason we've created it that way is because our body has arteries, arterioles, capillaries, venules, and veins. And because of that, we've created a society that looks just like that. And by the way, all the houses on all of those residential streets, they're cells. They're cells. They're little tiny compartmentalized cellular units. And that makes perfect sense. Now, if we were different species altogether, who knows what our thoroughfares would look like, or even if we had thoroughfares. And then it also goes into semiotics, which is the study of language. But I was looking at my niece and listening to her and the way that she computes and forms words and language. And you realize very quickly that mama and dada are the easiest terms that a baby can create with a rudimentary mouth. And that's obviously why we've created mom and dad. Because not because the word, we're telling them the word, it's because the words that they can say are those words. And so we assigned ourselves as adults those nomenclatures, identifiers. So it's really interesting to watch her formulate language on her mouth, you know, like using her mouth and soft palate and tongue and like mwah, mwah, mwah. And like, by the way, like mwah, mwah is like the way that you would also breastfeed, right? Like which makes sense why it's mom. It's like the suckle, the sound is like mum. You know, like crazy stuff like that. You can start to analyze and look at for hours, which is like why I can't wait to have kids and just view the world through their eye and view the world through their physiology like that and see how much of the world is kind of based on circumstance, how much of language is based on circumstance and how much of our reality is based on just, well, our bodies work like this, so let's just externalize the internal. So we'll get into that more, but I just wanted to touch on that. That's pretty interesting to me. I don't see why anybody wouldn't enjoy having a child around, aside from the fact that it's your blood and your love and your thing that you would give and die for and kill for. Also, just the little stuff where you watch them realize something for the first time. And you realize that the language they speak is directly from an evolutionary circumstance of the way that the mouth develops. Like, it would blow my mind. It blows my mind to watch my own child do this, you know, or if I had one, you know. But it would blow my mind to see that happen. So, I'm rambling. I know I am. I'm sorry. We're going to go to another segment in just a segundo. Would they have anything else I want to talk to you about? Lasers, Bing. Do something drastic every day is my new big thing. I'm do something strange and original every day just to make some days interesting and novel, because fucking novelty is my favorite thing in the world. So find something stupid to do every day. Find something that you go, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be weird. And just do it. Just do it and see what happens. Just do it and see what happens. You know, so that's what I did the other day. I was at Home Depot with my dad and Rye, and we were at the returns table, and there was a Rotohammer in a shopping cart. And he goes, and I go, hey, you know what? I'll bet you this thing isn't even coated now. I bet you we could wheel this thing outside, and because it's a return and it hasn't been filed yet, they don't even have it on inventory. It's probably not even, doesn't have like a security code on it that would go off when you go through the sensors. He's like, yeah, I bet. And I went, okay, let's see. And I just grabbed the thing and started wheeling it towards the sensors. Sure enough, it does go off. It definitely does go off. But I just kind of smiled at him and went, oh, I guess it does go off. I guess there's always that sensor, and just kind of wheeled it back. And everybody at the Home Depot was just looking at me like, nothing happened. Nothing happened. It was an interesting little day. It was an interesting little test. And it was fun. You know, stupid shit like that. Just have fun. Just have fun during the day. Just have fun. Have fun. God damn it. Have fun. God bless it. You know, right. That's all I want to tell you. Have fun. Click through the Amazon link. Do yoga. Do jujitsu. Kick ass. Love yourselves. Try and steal shit. See what happens. I love you. Here comes the next segment in 3, 2, 1. Check it out. And now.
I love you, Lincoln. I love you, honey bunny.
Medical mistakes in movies. And now it's time for a new segment on the show that we call Medical Mistakes in Movies and Melodramas. It's the type of thing that you may have experienced in your line of work where you're watching a show and then they do something incongruent to your specific job. And as engrossed as you were into that movie, as soon as they make that mistake, you just go, oh man, now I'm out of it. Why didn't they just consult somebody? Because it's completely wrong. They could have had somebody punch up better dialogue to that that's more apropos to it. There were so many ways that you could have fixed that, but they just kind of went, oh no, we're going to move on. And for me, it's medical mistakes. They pull me right out, and the whole, you know, misbelief, the willingness to be, willingness of disbelief? What do you call it? You know what I'm talking about. You want to be mystified. You want to be engrossed. We're voyeurs. We love film and movies. It's our chance to exude and emote without actually having all that stuff happen to us. And it's a chance to let go and enjoy. And when those mistakes happen, they pull you right out. And it really chaps my cha-chas, man. And I'll tell you, I'm bringing some up because I want you to pay attention to these things. They really do get to me. And if you're making movies, guys, just ask the set medic. You don't even need to have a medical advisor on set. Just ask the set medic. They'll give you the dialogue you need, and they'll set everything up for you. So here's one. Here's my first, and this is a biggie. And it has to deal with the fact that I came back from cancer, the surgery in November, and I finally got home after being there 8 days. And, you know, they split my head open. And I was just happy to be alive, sore and painful, but just relieved. And I came home and I put on the old TV and a little show called Carlito's Way was on. And I had not seen that movie in, I don't know, maybe even a decade. Have you guys seen it? Mike Newell is the director. Al Pacino's in it. Sean Penn plays the lawyer. Penelope Ann Miller's kind of a girlfriend. It's got a young Viggo Mortensen in it. John Leguizamo. And it really is a total caricature of crime drug dramas, you know, and in the 70s, it's got the Scarface feel. It's got a Godfather feel. But man, it's still like, it's got great music. It's before they were doing digital changes to the film. So you actually had to have good lighting and good cinematographers and they nail it. They capture it. Just right. And like I said, good soundtrack and everything. And I'd forgotten how great it was. Yeah, the characters are a little bit two-dimensional. Yeah, the writing is a little bit hard-boiled, Raymond Chandler type stuff. And I hope you guys know what I'm talking. I mean, you know, you know where the story's going anyway. But they put it together. And I was just feeling just a little bit of relief, and it was like it was a reawakening for me to see that movie, and just how good it was. And
And there's love affair between Penelope and Miller, and she's a little bit out of character because she's such a wholesome thing. But in this, she tries to play a little daring, a little bit naughty, a little bit sassy. And Al Pacino's kind of thrown off by it, right? So in my life, I was right in the middle of going through a breakup, which kind of happened just as I got cancer. Hey, lucky me. Yeah. And my girlfriend looked a little bit like her. So I'm watching all this, and it's all kind of whoom, kind of hit me all at the same time, all of this breakup. You got cancer. I told her. She went, no fucking way. Really? And it was almost like, you know, fuck, now I feel like I'm an asshole for leaving you. But what are you going to do? You can't keep it going if it doesn't work. And it's good to know right off the bat. So, so I'm watching this movie, and like, there's a whole scene where she lets him into the apartment. Well, kind of, I don't want to ruin the movie for you, but like this whole, like the Joe Cocker, you know, you are so beautiful. To me. And it's playing, that song plays through the whole movie when they're, you know, amongst all like the, you know, voulez-vous coucher avec moi and everything. And it's like, I just totally fell for this love affair because it was like, maybe it's the morphine, it's the fact that I'm alive, and the fact that I just lost the love of my life. And I had this fucking ice pack on my head, and I was just laying back listening to Joe Cocker, and tears just streaming down my face. And my dad's there, and I'm just, and he's going, what the fuck is this? What is this movie? What is this movie? This is terrible. My head's back, my eyes covered, the ice pack. I'm going, yeah, it's pretty bad. And there are tears. I mean, I haven't cried like this since I was maybe 6 years old. So it was just release. So it was really good. It was really, really important. And I think that's why I liked it so much. And we, you know, we're getting towards it. And then there's a little scene where somebody has to get shot. I don't want to tell the whole story. Get shot. And you're seeing this whole thing go down, and it's going in slow-mo. And then the paramedics show up, and just the love's going on, and that fucking song comes on. You know, you are so beautiful. And again, dude, ice pack on my head, head bit tilt back, just pouring tears. And I'm kind of watching out of the lower portion just so my eye can see a little slit. And I'm watching the person get wheeled away, and then I see on the hand, the IV is completely upside down. And then it slowly follows the tubing up to not a saline IV bag, but a water bottle. A water bottle. Sterile water. It could have been sterile saline, but it's the water bag, not the IV bag. And at that point, it was the needle skipped. And I went, man, why? I know the script was bad. The characters are unbelievable. The thing is, but the fucking IV bag got me. Pulled me right out. Water bottle. The saline in my eyes stopped because of the saline water bottle missing the IV saline. You got it. So one of those things that I was right there. I was right in the middle of final release of a lot of stuff. And then, what the fuck is this? This won't do at all. And now you can see, maybe, why these things are very important. Had they just asked the medic, he would have gone, no, you need an IV bag. I have four in my bag. I'll just give you one of those. Oh, no, the needle goes towards the heart, towards the arm, not out to the fingers. Yeah, that's real quick. I can actually do one for the character right now if you want, like for realsies. You wouldn't even feel it. But no, Hollywood, they just skip over it. They skip over a lot of movies. I have a boatload of these to pass on to you. But for now, Carlito's Way, the backwards IV, and the water bottle.
Hey, that's the podcast for this week. Thanks for listening up. Remember, if you're out shopping, why not go through TromedyPodcast.com to click on that Amazon banner and buy whatever your little heart desires on Amazon for no additional charge yourself. It's Ken Allen saying, if you got it, then use it. Talk to you soon, everybody. Love you. Bye.